This weekend, I had the most unique encounter by way of interaction I've had in quite some time. I had the privilege of interacting with a friend who was one of the most gifted psychologists I've ever known, works with children, has helped hundreds of children find hope in Christ, is in the midst of difficult mental issues and stuff. And so, yeah, recently re-diagnosed with cancer. Her cancer was attacking her in dramatic fashion. And so as a result of her diagnosis, her husband made contact with me and said, would you please interact with my wife at a level that will help her in the midst of her journey, in the midst of this difficulty? And so we ended up in an amazing time of interaction on Friday evening. And it's interesting because as we conversed about what was going on inside of her, we saw the parallel of what happens when you just listen to medical instruction and when you listen to heavenly instruction and how that works in our lives in a more far and exceeding way than just what we hear from the doctor. And so began to tell me the story of what had transpired. She'd gone to the doctor, had been misdiagnosed with one thing, ended up it was something else, went to another doctor. They misread what was going on with the pathology report. So in the third visit, third doctor, third place in America, she found the solution to what it was she's facing. And it obviously wasn't a good solution, but the challenge she had to face. And so as she began to share that with me, my whole thought was constantly around the reality that she's the most gifted child psychologist I've ever known, brilliant by way of giftedness and insight. And so we came to a moment of conversation, and in the midst of that conversation, I finally asked the question, you have been gifted to understand how the mind thinks. You have been gifted to understand how to guide someone to the correct thought. And I looked at it and I said, I want to know just how much of that equipping and that giftedness is helping you while you face this great battle. And it's interesting what she said. It has helped me nothing. What has helped me is the promises of God's word. And she said, here's what I learned. When I'm facing all this, while I may understand how the thought processes work and what it is that we encounter, what I needed most was God's word speaking to my heart. And she said, I thank God that I found myself going back to all the verses that I had claimed and memorized and hung on to over all these years. And it's interesting because as we conversed, she began to smile more and she began to rejoice more. And as we interacted, we began to talk more about what God's word says. We read different verses that stood out. And listen carefully. What you and I need the most in our lives is to have God's word so poured into our hearts that at every juncture of every bad diagnosis and every bad counsel and every other situation we encounter, we come back to the living truth of God's word. Because here's what you discover. For Joshua to win, which is where we're going to be today again, for Joshua to win in life, he had to come back to the very promises that had been the anchor of his entire story. And what I want you to see today is this. You can have all kinds of equipping and giftedness. My friend is one of the most gracious, godly women I've ever known. Fabulous and gifted. And yet her counsel came back to the counsel of Scripture, the instruction book that never changes. Listen carefully. People may question this book, but listen carefully. It speaks to everything we'll ever face in life. It speaks to who we are, who He wants us to be. It speaks to how we should live. It speaks to what we should think. It speaks to all those things. And it's interesting because as she began to quote Scripture and I began to quote Scriptures, I realized we were in for a heavenly encounter. Excuse me. Now, this morning I thought, as I woke up this morning, it was interesting, by the way, in a home where someone is battling for their life with cancer, the thing that was most prevalent to me was the peace of God in that home. And so I sent her a note this morning, and I said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you, trusting the Lord, and asking Him to watch over you. And I said, I sense the peace of the Lord at work in your home. And I sent her a verse. And I sent her these verses, Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. Isn't that a great promise? I mean, think about it. You see something coming at you, your first thought is to be afraid. And listen carefully. It's not by accident that God said over and over again not to be afraid to Joshua. Not by accident. That's why today we look at how important it is that we heed God's instruction for us. And so an hour later, I got a message back from her. And which, by the way, her husband told me that following our visit that night was the very best night of her sleep since the day she was diagnosed again. Which tells you something. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Isn't that a great thought? So she wrote me back, though, and she sent me a verse out of Psalm 20. And listen to it. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. Excuse me. I don't even have a throat problem, but I'm coughing here all of a sudden. The adversary is probably trying to attack me. So you pray for me that I have a strong voice while I'm preaching. I was very focused, and all of a sudden I start choking. Verse 6. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And listen to what she wrote to me. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Isn't that a great thought? I mean, think about that. I mean, here in the midst of a great battle, and so you may be getting ready to face the battle yourself. You may want to be encouraged by this because it may very well be that God uses it to speak to your heart as well. All right, so here's where we are. We're in Joshua chapter 1. Last week, we looked at the first 9 verses, setting in motion one clear thought, and that is, we want to be faithful. And what we looked at was that Joshua had a new reality. Moses was gone. And as a result of that, he had to face life without that shadow of a great leader who was looking over him. Excuse me one moment. Holy grape juice. I may have to stop 5 times, but I'm going to preach this whole sermon, all right? So just stay with me. Joshua finds himself with an awareness that, you know what, life is not going to ever be like it was. It's going to be different. And as a result of that, he has to process life from a different filter. He has to look at it from a new reality. And when you get to verse 10, underneath Joshua were all these commanders, all these people who are responsible to execute what it is that God has said to him, what God has said to Joshua. And so look, if you would, beginning in Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provision for yourself, for within 3 days you're to cross this Jordan, to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God has given you, to possess it. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the Lord, the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array all your valiant warriors and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you shall return to your own land, possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. They answered Joshua and said, all that you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we have obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your word and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Now, when you hear all the commanders, you do get this idea that there's pretty strong motivation to be obedient. Because if you're not obedient, you're going to be put to death. And so they were pretty much laying out the parameters, said, you know what, we're going to do exactly what you've said. But here's what I want you to get in mind as you think about your own life. Because God's word is the greatest instruction book we'll ever hold in our hand. It speaks to everything we'll ever face in life. But here's the question that overarches everything we look at today. Because my challenge for you today is think about this. How many instructions do we miss that could set us in motion to experience everything God intended? How carefully, here's the question. How carefully do you follow instructions? How carefully do you look inside of God's word and let it speak to who you are and let it grab hold of what it is he wants to do in you and through you? You see, the truth of the matter is that if you determine to follow his instructions very carefully, you'll open up the great opportunities of life. But if you don't, you'll miss those opportunities. And so you think about how carefully you do that. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, you'll notice in verse 11, he makes this statement, pass through the midst of the camp, command the people to prepare provisions for themselves, for within 3 days they're going to cross the Jordan. All right? So here's what Joshua says. Go tell everybody in 3 days they're getting ready to face something really challenging. Now, by the time you get to chapter 3, Joshua gives the instruction that you and I have heard many times, consecrate yourself for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. All right, so we'll get to that in a few weeks. But here you find, he says, go to the camp, tell them to get their stuff together, because whatever they take across that Jordan, everything they leave on the other side, they're not taking with them anymore. They're moving on. And so he says, prepare yourself, prepare provision, get the things you need the most, and make sure you pack those things, not the things that are non-essentials. And it's interesting, I was watching as the California fires that were they're rampant earlier and just a few months ago, and you watch people as they were loading things into their cars. Nobody was loading up their toaster, their vacuum cleaner. I mean, they weren't loading, they were loading up pictures. They were loading up things that were essential. And so if you think about today, that's the kind of things we, you and I need to do. But look on, though, because notice if you would, verse 16. Notice what he says. Then they answered Joshua, saying, all that you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses, we'll obey you. Isn't that a great thought that they understood, hey, you know what? You're going to lead us to where we're supposed to be. You're going to guide us. But what did they have to do? They had to be diligent. And here's what I want you to grasp by way of principle. When you start being diligent, when you start demonstrating diligence, it leads you to victory. It leads you to a victorious direction in life. In other words, you start saying, you know what, I'm going to stay in pursuit of this. I'm going to yield myself to what it is that's going to guide me the most. My friend who's facing cancer, two different types of cancer, misdiagnosed that she has to now battle against, those two different diagnoses. And it's interesting because if you listen to her story, here's what's interesting. When she had her first occurrence of cancer X number of years ago, experts said, this is what you do. The only problem was the experts were wrong. The experts didn't guide her to making the wisest decisions based in what ultimately now she sees is the recurrence that she causes her to fight for her life. And here's what I know. The more diligent we are, the more focused we're going to be. Because it's interesting, instructions, they demand something of us. Instructions demand the three things we looked at last week. The courage to confront, the commitment to obey, and the confidence to come before the Lord. So I want you to look at something. Look, turn back just a few pages to Numbers chapter 27. I want to show you something. In fact, it's interesting because when you look at the Bible and you read the story in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy of the story of Joshua, 27 different times His name is called. Guess what? In all 27 times, he's faithful. Faithful. And it's interesting because when you look at the unfolding of this story, if you find yourself seeing the impact of the faithfulness of Moses, Moses' name shows up 55 times in the book of Joshua. So it shows you something. The more faithful you are, the more you'll be remembered for what matters the most in life. And so look, if you would, Numbers chapter 27. Something you probably have not ever seen before. I want to point it out to you because here's what I want you to see. When he starts preparing you for something, he may prepare you today for something that's going to happen 5 years from now, 10 years from now. He may be preparing you, but look at Numbers chapter 27, beginning in verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, so the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd. So the Lord, watch this, verse 18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the people. So, and he shall not violate, excuse me, hang on a second. I turned two pages here. Hang on. Before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him in order that the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest, before all the congregation. And in verse 23, then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord has spoken through Moses. And I want you to imagine for a second, This is the prep that leads to a faithful man. I mean, what did God see in Joshua? God saw faithfulness. And I don't know if you're like me, but there's one thing I pray he sees in me, and I pray he sees in you, that we are faithful to what he's called us to do. Faithful to the word of God. Faithful to the promises of God. Faithful to believing and living out this book. And it's interesting, we have allowed our land to be flooded with churches who seldom even pick this book up, seldom even use it as a tool for their life. Listen, this is the instruction book that leads us to wisdom, leads us to insight, leads us to discovering what it is God wants to do for in all of our lives. And so in number 27, the Lord saw something in Joshua. And it's interesting because then he said to Moses, give him a portion of your authority. Can you imagine the feeling of that? Moses was, you know, I got somebody faithful beside me. Which, by the way, if you read all 27 encounters with what transpired with Joshua, every time he needed to step up, he did. Wouldn't that be true and faithful of us, you and me? If we, any time we needed to stand up, we stepped up for him. Said, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. And instead of saying, well, I would, but I could, but I should, but I won't. I mean, think about the contrast there. What would happen if Jesus spoke so clearly to you and me that we heard him saying to us, I will be the woman who stands before him and serves him. I will be the man who says yes to him. I'll be the student who says yes to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what you discover. All of a sudden, you'd find yourself listening to every instruction you could ever hear from God's word, letting it speak to your heart in a vivid and powerful way. And so when you read this, you realize something. When you get to the very latter part of Joshua chapter 1, back to that text with me if you would, in verse 18, you get that last verse, if anyone who rebels, all right? So in verses 1 through 9, he makes it clear you can't be afraid. He makes it clear you can't get tired. You got to accomplish what needs to transpire. So let me just say to you, there are three barriers we all have to eliminate, and we can't have any excuses towards them. Three barriers that we face in our lives that are really key. One is fatigue, getting tired. Because the truth matters, we get tired, what happens? We miss hearing what it is God's trying to say to it. The second one is fear. And when we get fearful, we end up going away from what it is God has for us because, man, if I have to do this, it may be too much. But the third one is the most challenging, and it's rebellion. And what is rebellion? Rebellion is saying, I know what is right, but I choose to do it my way instead of God's way. I choose to walk away from God's best, and I end up missing what it is God has for me. And listen carefully. Anybody here can identify people who've rebelled. And the price of rebellion is staggering. Staggering. Now, the price in Joshua chapter 1 is death. Now, we don't see that price paid very often in our world. But here's what we do know. The more tired you get, the more fearful you get, the more rebellious you get, the less instruction you receive. You don't hear him speak. You don't listen attentively. You don't know what he's saying to you because you get caught up in your own fear, your own fatigue, your own rebellion. Listen carefully. You can be energized by God in the midst of a busy life. So you can't sit around and going, you know, I'm just so busy. Listen, if your busyness is a burden, change your schedule and focus in on what he's trying to say to you. Because that's exactly what transpires here. Because what he wants is for you and me to be successful in our lives, to accomplish what he intended. And my challenge for you to think about today, I want to show you three things that transpire in these verses that lead us to success. And so these are success instruction, all right? The first one is in verse 10 where he talks about make provision, get the provisions you need. Because here's what I want you to get in mind. He makes it very clear that you need to be willing to pack, watch this, pack properly and take the time to get it right. Now, if you'll think about it for a moment, anyone who ever travels, what they do is they lay everything out on their bed or on a table or something, and then they go through and make sure everything is there. So here's a question for you. Have any of you ever packed and forgotten something that you realized I did not get what I needed? I forgot what I needed, even though I had it on my list. I had it on my list of things. My wife has this long packing list, and she'll go through that list, and she'll check off this and check off that. Then we'll get somewhere and she'll say, I forgot such and such. And I'm like, how could you forget? Well, it wasn't on the list. And what happens with Joshua is he sends all the officers through the camp and said, look, make your list out carefully. Don't pack a bunch of stuff you don't need. only carry with you what it is that's essential to help you get where God wants you to go. Listen carefully. Wouldn't you love to have a packing list for a faithful life? I mean, wouldn't you love to know that God has guided you to be able to go, okay, I'm supposed to do this, supposed to do that, supposed to take care of this, I'm supposed to watch over that. And what happened? Your list of provision is not about things that's non-essential. I mean, it's all the things that matter the most. And so he says here, make sure that you make this and command them to prepare these things. In other words, he didn't say, walk in, hey, if you want to, take an extra pair of pants. He didn't go through and say, you know what, don't worry about your vitamins. There's plenty of milk and honey in that land. I mean, it wasn't like that. It was like you go through and you get what it is you need the most because you needed provision. You need to make sure you lay that all out. So I want to ask a question. How many of you are list makers? Let me see your hand. How many of you can operate with just a mental list in your mind and cover all your bases? Let me see your hand. I mean, it's okay to admit this, by the way, all right? Some can actually just process in their mind and keep up with it. Those who, either you have a mental list or you have a written list, why do you have the list? It's to make sure you're ready to do what it is you're supposed to do, to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. Why did Joshua do that? He wanted to have the right list to be able to move forward. Here's what I want you to get a hold of in your own life, because this is where God's word comes into play. God's promises are so trustworthy that all you have to do is simply follow the instructions. Because that's what Joshua's trying to get across. Take with you the things that matter the most. Make sure you have the most essential variables. Several years ago, I was about to go off on a trip, I had this feeling I'm forgetting something. Something I'm supposed to have that I don't, it's not in my stuff. And so I thought about it, and in the middle of the night before I left, and maybe you never had this experience, I woke up wide awake with the reality I was forgetting something really important. You know what it was? My Bible. I was forgetting to take my Bible, had used it for something else, and I have a travel Bible that I use that has in it certain things. In fact, this is actually my travel Bible. It has pictures of my grandchildren. It has certain things that I look at. It has pictures of the signatures of the kids who've given their hearts to Christ all over the world. It's different things that I look at to remind me, but I'd forgotten it. And I thought to myself, what would I do if I got to a country and I had to be totally dependent on a Bible I'd never held, with promises I'd never read and language I'd never understood, to do what I'm supposed to do? And here's what I want you to keep in mind. When you get these promises, you hang on to them, you write them down, you let them speak to your heart, and you watch what God does. So God's promises, they're there for us. They're there they're there to speak to our hearts and life. But there's a second thing. Because he told them to get ready, and you'll notice that what he says is that as you cross this Jordan, to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. All right? Watch this. Acting in faith always gives you his blessing. So here's what you can imagine. They're on the other side of the Jordan River, and they're looking. Think about it. They're looking, and they're seeing. I mean, they're seeing everything that they could possess. They just had to be willing to act in faith. Which, by the way, that Jordan River at high tide, moving through there at unbelievable pace, they had to have great faith. But it's interesting, by the way, it was not to put one foot in the water. It was to put two. Faith does not let you keep one foot in doubt and one foot in faith. It causes both feet to step into what it is God has for you. So first thing I want you to get in mind, as you think about living a faithful life, as you think about living out God's promises, if you think about being someone who heeds instruction, God gives you promises. You simply follow those promises. As you follow them, what happens? You start acting in faith. You start trusting him, and God starts blessing you, and he starts using you in profound and powerful ways. Second thing I want you to see, look if you would, beginning in verse 12. Notice what transpired. He talks about the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh who've been given provision on this side of the Jordan, all right? And the promise that they got there was, you can have this side of the Jordan, but you're going to help us win the other side. All right, so they've received their blessing, but with their blessing comes a responsibility. All right, and so what I want you to see is they knew something. They had an assignment. They got blessed, but they had to respond to the assignment the right way. Everyone, and I want you to get this, there are no exception clauses to this, okay? Everyone has an assignment that must be completed, that must be fulfilled. everyone. So here's what you discover. If we miss our assignment, if we don't follow through the instruction, if we don't listen to what God's saying to us, what happens to us? We miss the opportunity that God's put before us to be obedient before Him. And listen carefully. Can you imagine how many assignments we missed that could have been the front door of the greatest opportunities of our life? I mean, think about it for a second. Did you ever miss an assignment in school? As much as the teacher would like to instruct you about what transpired that day before, if you missed it, it's hard to get it. It's hard to catch up with it. It's hard to know what it is that's transpiring. And when I was in college, my wife and I, we were at Oklahoma Baptist University, wonderful school, but I was in a track towards a business major, and I had a class called Business Statistics. It was a statistical analysis. You learn how to do formulas, stuff like that. If you ask me today, do I remember any of it? No. I only remember one instruction the teacher gave that changed my life forever. You know what it was? The teacher said, I don't care if you memorize any of this. You can write every formula you want in your book. And when you take the test, if you're smart enough to bring your book, you can pass the test. Well, let me ask you, wouldn't you like to have a teacher like that? That all the answers are all written in your book? Now listen, if you looked at my statistical book, if you saw it, every page, I mean, I started in the very back. I started writing down every formula, every statistical thing, and so I could miss half the class, didn't matter. The other thing he said was, I don't care if you come or not. That's your choice. You may want to sleep. You may want to go eat a hot dog at A&W Root Beer, whatever you want. I love those back then. And I can remember thinking, this is a teacher from heaven. Because he gives you all the, he lets you keep all the formulas, all the instruction, everything. And he doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him at all. As long as you come in and you take the test and you open up your book with all your formulas. Listen carefully. God gave you and me a book with open instructions. All we had to do is say, okay, I'm going to read everything in here. I'm going to look at every promise. I'm going to underline the words that speak to me the most. I'm going to make sure it grabs hold of me. Now, here's the question. When the test comes, are you ready? When the test comes, are you going to step into it? Because that's where you get evaluated. Did you do well? Guess what grade I made in that class? Take a guess. A? F? A? I didn't make an A. I made a B. You know why? I couldn't remember where I wrote some of the formulas down. And so when I took the final exam, I was thumbing through that book, you know, and he was like, Mr. Spicer, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm trying to find this formula. And I couldn't find it, so I made a B. But still, it was a great life example for me. I thought, man, this is fantastic. So here's what I want you to think about. What happens if all of a sudden God begins to speak to your heart through an open book? I mean, I don't know if you ever had tests where your book's closed and not as easy. I mean, isn't that how our life tests come to? We face a life test. We hear a bad diagnosis. We hear counsel we don't agree with. We face something we can't imagine. And all of a sudden, we open a book. It speaks to our lives forever. The other thing I want you to remember about God's promises He gives us that is so powerful. When you are living out His instruction, God's reward for every one of us is to give us rest. And I love the fact that when you see this, that they said to them very clearly that once they have achieved everything that needs to transpire, then they're going to have rest. They'll find that rest, and you fight now, you rest later. Listen carefully. It's exactly how life is. We fight now at different times. Someday we will see Him face to face, and we will rest in Him. Wouldn't you love to think that's the story of our lives? That we rest in the promise of what He has for it, and then when He calls us home, we celebrate who He is. A third and final thing I want you to see as we wrap this all together is as you move on through to verse 16, you come to a place where they answer Joshua, and they said, all that you've commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Listen to the third and key concept of you and mine, journey of following instruction, heeding what it is that God says to it. Because He makes it very clear here, simple obedience. Simple obedience. They said, we're going to do exactly what you say. Unlocked blessings for the faithful. I mean, just think. If you do exactly what it is you're supposed to do, and he starts unlocking these doors for you. It's interesting. Coming up in late February and in March and April, we have our next men's Bible study that our men's leadership team is putting together. It's going to be fantastic. But it's interesting because the entire focus of that entire study, which is going to be powerful, I want to invite all of our men to be a part of it when those dates are pushed out in a few days. The whole idea is there are keys to unlocking a life impact for each one of us. We unlock those keys, and we unlock each. There are three of those that are they're going to be laid out in that men's study. And as I was reading this, I was thought, man, what did these guys say? Whatever you tell us to do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Isn't that a profound thought that he tells us, this is what I want you to do, this is where I want you to go. All we have to do is be willing to yield to it and live it out and watch what transpires. Trust the Lord. What I want you to think about today is you trust the Lord to be with you no matter what it is you're facing. They trusted, notice what he said, verse 17, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you, only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Trust the Lord to be with you. If you're facing something, trust him to be with you. Listen, maybe you're looking for church home, trust him to be with you. Guide you into a place like this where we look inside of God's word every single week, live to fulfill the promises of God's word in each one of our lives. Trust him completely. Follow the commands exactly. We want to say, you know what, that's exactly what he wants me to do. And just be willing to do it. Listen carefully. If you think about it for a second, we all have very clear commands. We just have to yield to them. He makes it very clear. This is what he wants you to do, and how I want you to do it. I want you to grasp this and get a hold of it and let it become a part of your story. Let it become who you are. Just be willing. Follow them exactly. And then one final thought as you look at what transpires, he makes it clear in verse 18, anyone who rebels against your command does not obey your word, and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And I want you to leave here thinking about this. Never rebel or you lose everything. You lose everything. And if you'll think about it for a second, when we rebel, we miss God's best for our lives. My question to you today is simply this. As you think about what we just looked at, because the goal of this entire message was to challenge you to follow his instructions, follow what it is he's saying to you, follow what it is he wants to do in and through you. Don't forget what number 27 said, or Psalm 20 said, or Psalm 112 said. Don't forget what Joshua chapter 1 said. It's instruction that guide our very lives, that speak to our hearts. My question to you simply is this. Will you heed his instructions? Will you heed what it is he's saying to you? Because if you do, you are going to have a fantastic and amazing journey of faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word that speaks to our lives. Thank you for every person present today. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. You guide us. You speak to us. You help us encounter you in new and living ways. And Lord, for every person here, we bring ourselves before you with a clear awareness that your instruction book is perfect. It clearly speaks to everything that we'll ever face in life. It is the guidebook that leads us to godliness. It is the guidebook that leads us to obedience. It's the guidebook that leads us to faithfulness. It is the guidebook that allows us to experience life the way you intended. Lord, it is amazing. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, if there's anyone here who's wanting to take that step of being faithful, to encounter what it is you have. And I pray, Lord, you speak to their heart in a vivid way. Lord, touch hearts, speak to life, transform anyone here who's looking for the answer, because, Lord, you are the answer to whatever it is they're facing. Lord, move in the midst of your people. Help us, Lord, to heed your instruction and obey you. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.